Hallelujah.
Can Jesus fix it? Can Jesus fix it this morning, congregation? If you believe he can fix it, how can you just sit there and not give him the highest praise? I ask that you stand on your feet this morning and acknowledge that our God, hey, my God, he can fix it. You don't have to stand on my part, but under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, if you truly believe this morning that he can fix it, if it's broken, he can fix it, Sister Baggett. We know what prayer will do. And you have been the right of covenant with the Father. Hey, he can fix it. Whatever is broken, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Brother Derek, we just thank God for you. We praise God for you. We thank God for you. Choir, you know in the word, you represent the Levites. Before the armies would go out into battle, according to the word, the Levites would go out ahead of them. And I see that it's protocol that before the men and women of God come up to deliver the word, there's always a song preceding. And it's so neat that it's always so fitting for what the word of God is about to bring forth to his people. You see, God is he's a God of order. Yeah, he's a God of order. Something happened right here a few minutes ago. I was going to say that it was an error that was made when my sister read the scripture for the hour. And I started to come up here and say, no, that's not what I put on the paper. But as she began to read, hallelujah, the word spoke. The word spoke. And I pray that as she read and you read along, that you heard what thus saith the Lord. I heard my under shepherd agree with the word as she was reading. Ain't God all right? So y'all got a double blessing this morning. Yeah, you got a double blessing this morning. So if you didn't catch what 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 13 clearly said, go back and read it, because there are some nuggets in there that will help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, come now thanking you for blessing us as we assemble in your presence. Now, Lord, I ask for a fresh anointing to fall on us, your people, as we hear from you this day. I ask you, Lord, to speak through me, your humble servant, words of hope, healing, deliverance, and salvation, in the mighty name of your precious Son, Jesus' name. Our message today will be coming out of the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Ursus, you may have your seat. We're going to find that in the beginning of chapter 16, God is giving Samuel an assignment to go to the house of Jesse of Bethlehem. Now, he told Samuel that he had to go to choose one of Jesse's sons to be the new king. If you read in chapter 15, Saul had been fired. He got fired. Yeah. He messed up. God will fire you. Yeah. He don't care about your position. He don't care about your CEO status or EEO or BEO status. If you're not going to conform to his word and his ways, he don't care what your position is. He'll fire. He did King Saul. So we go on into the word where he sent Samuel to choose one of Jesse's sons to be the new king. Now notice God didn't tell Samuel which son to pick. He only gave Samuel one task to do, Pastor. And that task was to take his horn and fill it with oil. And there was a reason behind this. It was customary to anoint God's appointed. That was one of the customs. We find in verse 6, when Samuel sees one of Jesse's sons, Eliab, he thinks surely this has to be the one God has chosen to be the anointed king. Because you see, Samuel was comparing Eliab to Saul, the former king. Now, Saul was tall and handsome, and so was Eliab. But you see, God had not set Samuel in that direction. So you had to straighten him out here. He had to say, now look, he had to warn him. Don't be concerned about how these sons are going to look. Jesse had seven sons. Actually, he had eight. But he only brought out seven for Saul to see, for Samuel to see. Help me, Holy Spirit. For Samuel to see. No, after he messed up with that first one, I imagine Samuel said, I better kind of chill out here. Don't want to make the master upset. So that's why God didn't leave it to Samuel, as I was saying, to choose the future anointed king of Israel. You see, we can't sit here and judge Samuel because we're guilty too. Let's be real now. At one time or another, we've looked at the outward appearance of a person. Amen. And said, no, you don't stand up according to man's standard to be leading a beautiful song in a choir. But God looks at your heart. And he knows that gift that he has bestowed in you to be used for his glory. Hallelujah. And this is a word for you, young lady. Let him use you. Lay every weight aside and let God continue to use you for his glory and the building of his kingdom as we move along. Hallelujah. You see, as I was saying, we can't frown on Samuel because we too make that mistake of judging people by their makeup, how we feel they're qualified. And even sometimes God will use the unqualified. That's how neat. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's how good he is. As Pastor said, I know where I am, but I got to go right here right now. Do you remember the lady with the alabaster box? Would those high-ranking people have chose her to anoint Jesus' feet? They didn't even want her in the house. What's she doing up in here? Who is she? God uses whoever and wherever and whenever he wants. That's God. That's God. That's the God we serve. Getting back here. Want to go here for a minute. The first time my husband and I visited Macedonia, this is talking about judging the outward appearance of a person. We were in the old sanctuary, and on our way here, it was drizzling, raining, and I looked to the right, and there was this man sitting on the steps of, it's a place that's torn down now. It used to be Bubba's or some little place up the street there. And he was, I don't know, it was something with a B, wasn't it? Buddies, that's it. Buddies. And I'm going to make this short. But anyway, I noticed the man, and I said, oh, Leroy, that man is sitting there, and it's raining, but we came on to church. Well, pastor got up. This was our first time at Macedonia. We were made very welcome. And pastor got up to deliver the message. And about midway the message, boom, door swings open. It's that guy that was sitting up the street. He came in, and he sat like between Sister Westbrook and Sister Jernigan. He was wet. He was smelly. And he kept laughing out loud, you know, and it was very distracting. Pastor could have beckoned to the ushers and asked for him to be removed because of the distractions that he was making. What did Pastor Baggett do? You remember, Pastor? You can wait. He brought that man up here. Hallelujah. And he prayed for that man. And when he prayed for that man, my husband and I, we took him back and set him between us. Thank you. And that changed the whole atmosphere of the sanctuary. My husband and I, we looked no further for another church. Because if a man of God would do that for him, come on, Holy Ghost, you know where I'm going here. Hey, that tells you something about the man of God. This is the type of man of God I want to sit under. You know, he didn't care that he didn't come in here with a Steve Harvey on and sitting up with a holy clap and a hallelujah. No, but that man could have been an angel unaware. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Another word, yeah, that's a true story. This actually happened. Praise God. As the old saying goes, we can't judge a book by the cover. And verse 7 tells us, again, that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We go on down, and Samuel tells Jesse that God has not chosen any of the 7 sons that he had brought. Jesse was asked to send for the youngest son. He knew he had to be a son here because God didn't send him there for nothing. So go get that one. Get the one that I haven't seen. And when David walked in the door, the Lord said, arise and anoint him. Arise and anoint him. So Samuel was obedient. He took the oil and anointed David. And the word says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David with power. My brothers and sisters, I'm here today to tell you that when God anoints us, appoints us, or calls us, God gives us power to do great and marvelous things. I'm reminded in the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, the fourth verse. You know, Jeremiah was a young boy. And I'm going to talk about, I already talked about David. I'm going to talk about Jeremiah. Then I'm going to talk about Timothy, and we out of here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah, the fourth chapter. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm needing my glasses here now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, the fourth verse, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I adorned thee a prophet unto the nations. Now here God is using yet a youth, another youth. God called Jeremiah at an early age to be a prophet of nations. Now you know when he called him, he had to be anointed with power as a child to be put over nations. Saints of God, we all have a calling on our lives. We all have a calling. Notice I said saints of God. As Pastor said, marinating that for a few. Saints of God, we all have a calling. All of our callings are different. Even if we have the same titles, we still can have different callings. Amen? Amen? Amen. It all depends on how God has predestined before we were formed in our mother's wombs as to where he's going to lead us to our destiny. But once saints of God, as I'm saying, we have all have a calling on our lives. But we can be assured that God will provide all we need to fulfill our given assignments. We only have to be willing, obedient, and most of all, trust him to see us through. I need to share this with you so you won't count it strange or get all caught off guard. When you do start walking in your callings, if you haven't already answered your calls, don't think it's going to be easy. And this was impressed to me to please tell you, when you start operating in your given call or anointing, you won't be a candidate for a popularity hall of fame. You're going to face some rejection. There are going to be some times you will want to just throw in the towel. You're going to feel isolated at times. You're going to be misunderstood at times. But I want to encourage you today. Don't give up. Just hold on. Because you see, God got your back, as we would say. But the word said, God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's the good part about it. we might not feel worthy, but if God sees you as being worthy, step out on faith. It's all of him and none of me standing here this morning. And to God be the glory. I just thank him and praise him that he chose me. I didn't choose him. Let me share this with you. I was stationed in the Air Force, stationed in Germany, and I was driving to work early one morning, and I'm all high in the Lord, just playing my gospel music. And I looked up toward heaven and I said, "Oh God, I'm so glad I chose you." And I've never heard God in an audible voice. And I didn't even know this was in the word at the time. He said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." I almost had a fit. He chose little old Mary E. Jones. Now that's awesome. And just like he chose me, he chose you. The thing is, are you going to answer your call? Amen. Now, if God has chosen you, as he did David, Jeremiah, and now we're going to get down to Timothy, another youth. Timothy, God bless his little heart, was blessed with Paul. Paul took him under his arm. Timothy, he was eager, he was ready, but because of his age and because of the calling that was on his life and who he hung with, Paul, he got a lot of opposition. But Paul encouraged him. Where was it? Over in Timothy, where he told him, he said, be encouraged, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Ain't that all right? Now, the same God that said that to him is saying to us today, don't be afraid, because he got somebody to encourage us. And sometimes, as Sister Tony sung a couple of weeks ago, we have to encourage ourselves. And if we are truly a child of God, the Holy Spirit that dwells down within us, it rises up in us, and we can encourage ourselves. Been there, done that. Yes. Talking from experience. Been there. Yes, yes. Thank you, Father. In closing, I want to tell you something this morning. Through these three youth that God used for his glory in one way or another for the building of his kingdom, the message that he wants me to leave with you this morning. First point, don't let people hinder you from your call. Don't let nobody tell you that you are unworthy. If you know in your heart that God has called you. Number two, don't let age be an excuse. God can use a baby. He can use a teenager. He can use a more mature person. Don't let age, it's something we can do for the kingdom, regardless of our age. Yeah, it's something we can do. There's a lady used to call my house, and I didn't know who she was, and she said, "I just want to tell you that God loves you, and do you know Jesus?" Come to find out, this was this lady's home ministry. She couldn't walk, but she would use the phone. Some of you might have gotten that phone call. Have you gotten that phone call? Well, y'all know I'm telling the truth. So if God can use her, and here we are, have the activities of our limbs, and we're just going to sit on our, what you call it, pastor? what is it? Stool or do nothing. I'm so glad you're back, Pastor, so you and Evangelist Willie can help me. You can sit on your stool or do nothing. We need to go on and be about our Father's business because time is running out. Time is running short. The signs of the times are here. Number three, and in conclusion, we need to encourage our youth as Paul encouraged Timothy. We need to set an example for our youth to follow. We need to set godly example. Church, we're losing our youth. And it's sad to say. Really sad to say. But you know, the game ain't over yet. We read the last chapter of the book. And in Revelations, it said we won. We don't want to look down. And see that child, that wayward child that we could have just spoke one word that will change the destiny of their lives. Do you hear what I'm saying today, congregation? I'm asking you, in the mighty name of Jesus, as I said in conclusion, let God use us. But before we can let him use you, we have to surrender. Matter of fact, we have to surrender all. And if we have a hard time surrendering all, heaven, he said he would send back his spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he'll help you. He'll help you. Macedonia, he'll help you. If you just come, with your permission, Pastor, I would like to have the call. Give the call this morning. God's not gonna call you just to be calling. But this morning, I feel he's using me to invite you to come. If you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, we're inviting you to come if you feel that you're in a backslidden state this morning. That you feel that you're out from under the ark of the covenant. Hey! You know, sometimes we miss the mark. But that's where God's mercy and his grace steps in. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here this morning asking you to stand on your feet that don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. You don't have to be a member of Macedonia. Our desire is that you become a member and a family of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I ask that the Holy Spirit will now convict hearts and minds that don't know you, Father, as your personal Lord and Savior. And you know, if you don't come up here, God will meet you right where you are. All you have to do is say, Lord, come into my heart. and be my personal Savior. And he'll do it. I'm a living witness. He'll do it. We ask, is there anyone to come? God bless you. I pray the word of God has been received.